Neil.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going? I'm just getting a coffee, you know, third coffee of the day. I'm not coffeeed up yet before I start work.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, that's way too much coffee for me. I have to shake. Hazelnut shake?
Okay. That's plant-based, is it? What is it?
Yeah, it's made from pea protein.
That tastes good.
Yeah, I actually really like it.
Okay. So it's like a milk substitute.
Yeah. It's not dairy.
Okay. Because my wife, she's got like an oat milk substitute, which she uses every morning for her muesli. She always used to use proper milk, dairy milk, but then she switched for environmental reasons. I tried it as well, I must admit, but I don't know.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it. The kids don't like it either. It's just my wife. She's really gone all out on oat milk now.
I mean, there's so many choices, you know, soy milk, oat milk, rice milk, almond milk.
I've seen all of those. Yeah, I haven't seen pea yet, but what would be the best one to go for from an environmental perspective? Is there any? Because I've often wondered that. I've seen all these products and I was thinking, well, my wife also asked me, you know, me working with the environment section, which one is the best environmentally speaking? And I was like, actually, I'm not sure. I really don't know.
Yeah, I'm actually not too sure either. I mean, plant-based milks are better in terms of like greenhouse gas emissions, but which one is the best? I think it's really hard to say. And also you have to look at the nutritional values, right? Calcium, yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't want any calcium deficiency or anything.
Right. I mean, this one here that it's fortified. So it has calcium and like a bunch of vitamin B2, B6, B12, like all the essential ones. But I don't know if all the milks have that. Okay. I mean, that would actually be a really interesting story to look at, right? I mean, what do you think?
For what's better, right? We should go for that.
Okay, let's investigate. So we already know cutting back on meat and dairy would be a huge help in reducing our impact on the climate. Meat and dairy have a very high carbon footprint. It accounts for almost 15% of all greenhouse gas emissions, says the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization.
Globally, livestock occupy 3/4 of the world's agricultural land. And most of that 3/4 is for grazing land. And that presents a challenge for us because globally the population is still growing. And there are estimates that suggest we need to increase agricultural output by 50 to 60%. The challenge that we are facing is that all of the agricultural land that we could grow food on is already being used for agriculture.
That's Brent Kim, a researcher at the John Hopkins Center for a Livable Future and one of the authors of Dairy and Plant-Based Milks, Implications for Nutrition and Planetary Health.
We can't expand agricultural production without clearing forests. And that becomes a climate disaster, right? Because all of those trees are essentially sequestering or holding onto carbon. So if we burn or clear those forests, more agriculture, we're releasing all that carbon into the atmosphere. So part of the challenge for us is that, not that grazing animals are bad, there are certainly times and places where it makes good sense to have grazing animals, right? They can graze on land that's too hilly or too rocky for growing crops. And grazing animals can also convert something that humans can't eat, which is grass, into something we can, which is meat and milk. You know, I have to defend grazing animals a little bit. But at the same time, knowing that they occupy 3/4 of the world's agricultural land, we have to rethink that a little bit and find ways to use at least some of that land more efficiently, which means using that land to grow food directly for humans. Whether that's growing plants that we eat or growing plants that become plant milk or plants that become plant-based meats, right? We have to use some of that land more efficiently if we're going to both feed the population and avoid the worst case climate change scenarios.
On the other hand, cow's milk comes with a lot of nutritious benefits. It provides protein, calcium, and vitamin D, just to name a few. Can plant-based milks really substitute all that? A recent study done by the University of Minnesota's Nutrition Coordination Center says most of them can't. The scientists looked at 219 different plant-based milks from 21 brands available in the U.S. and found that most could not compare to milk when it comes to nutritional values.
In countries like the United States, where our food-based guidelines incorporate say, 3 servings of dairy as part of the overall recommendation. If a person substitutes out cow's milk for plant-based milk, they might not be getting the same amount of calcium or vitamin D as they're thinking that they would be getting.
That's Abby Johnson, Associate Director of the Nutrition Coordination Center at the University of Minnesota in the School of Public Health. She's the lead author of that study I just mentioned. As plant-based milks exploded in the marketplace, Abby and her team wanted to update their nutrition database and see how these milk alternatives compare.
I think that the tension between plant-based and ultra-processed or processed foods right now in the consumer space and in the research space is quite interesting. There is a lot of benefit from choosing potentially planetary health, kind of making those choices that might be good for the planet by moving towards a more plant-based diet. But then we've got this other piece of the puzzle with a lot of focus and interest on reducing processed foods. And so how do we find kind of a happy point in the middle somewhere, perhaps, where you're minimizing both the intake of highly processed foods and increasing the intake of plant-based products to be sort of conscious of the environmental impact of the choices that you're making?
So let's look at these choices in this What's Better segment here on Living Planet. We'll check out different kinds of milks and their impact on the environment and our bodies. First things first, it's been well established that raising cattle takes up a lot of resources. We need water and land to sustain them, and even more land to grow crops that we then use as animal feed. Cows also burp and fart and emit a lot of methane, a potent greenhouse gas. Methane is about 28 times as potent as carbon dioxide or CO2. That's according to the United States Environmental Protection Agency. So methane is 28 times as good as trapping heat in the atmosphere. That means fewer cows would definitely be better for our climate. But is there even a clear winner on the side of plant-based milks? Let's ask Brent Kim, who worked on that meta study. So which one is better? Is there a choice that's best?
The question that you asked comes up a lot, right? People are at the coffee shop and they want to add a milk to their coffee. What kind of milk is best? And it's a little bit, I think, difficult and nuanced to answer the question of which one is best, because you have to consider, when we say best, what do we mean? Do we mean the smallest climate change impact? Do we mean the most nutritious milk, the most affordable milk? Or are we maybe more concerned about how much fresh water was used to produce that milk, or maybe how much agricultural land had to be occupied to produce that milk?
The scientists compared median per liter greenhouse gas emissions associated with soy, oat, almond, spelt, pea, and coconut milks and found they were 62% to 78% lower than those associated with cow's milk. The only outlier among plant-based milks was rice milk. However, that was only based on one study. Plant-based foods have by far the lowest carbon footprint, but we should also clarify that doesn't just mean CO2. And Kim says the vast majority of those greenhouse gas emissions that come from food and agriculture are actually produced before the product leaves the farm. The packaging the milk comes in or the miles it's traveled to get to the grocery store aren't as important as what happens on the farm. I'm surprised that transportation doesn't play a bigger role.
A lot of people will assume that. And I think that's partly because a lot of the focus on climate change is on carbon dioxide. When we think of climate change, we use the term carbon footprint. So there's a lot of focus on carbon in our vocabulary. And that's appropriate because carbon dioxide is hugely concerning. And globally, it is the number one greenhouse gas in terms of its contributions. However, within the context of food and agriculture, most of the greenhouse gases are in the form of methane and nitrous oxide. These two other, what we call short-lived but extremely potent gases that, you know, per unit of mass contribute to much more warming than carbon dioxide for the same amount of mass. So within, you know, we're talking about methane that's from cattle burps or enteric fermentation is just a fancy name for a process that's unique to ruminant animals like cows, sheep, and goats, right? By the way, they break down fibers in their digestive system. That process releases methane, this potent greenhouse gas, and they burp it out. Manure is another major source of methane and also nitrous oxide, two very powerful greenhouse gases. So we have all these different processes associated with raising animals that release these very potent greenhouse gases that contribute much more to greenhouse gas emissions from food and agriculture as compared to maybe the truck that's driving the food that's causing the food miles. Not that food miles don't matter, but when you're looking at the total, the food miles and the packaging are a much smaller fraction of the total greenhouse gas emissions for food and agriculture. If we're talking about cars, that's a very different story.
There are different environmental trade-offs when it comes to plant-based milks too. While almond milk compares favorably to cow's milk when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions, it doesn't look so good if you factor in its water footprint. And almond milk is the most sold plant-based milk in the US at the moment. Isn't there a better option?
One of the better ones, I feel, is milk made from peas. It might sound a little bit strange. Pea milk sounds kind of funny. But it was one of the least greenhouse gas intensive milks to produce. And it was also one of the more protein dense plant milks. And if we're concerned about fresh water use, it had one of the smallest, what we call water footprints, of all the different milks.
Oh, that's actually really good to know. I myself have been rotating milks quite a bit, and I found a new favorite in that aforementioned protein shake made from pea protein. I actually chose that because I wasn't really getting enough protein, and I wanted to reduce my dairy intake. But just looking at the numbers, I think soy milk also doesn't look too bad. What about soy milk?
It's difficult to pick one best one. I think pea milk performs well on low greenhouse gas emissions, low fresh water use, and high protein content. But soy milk checks all of those boxes as well. There were some studies where soy milk was not as low in terms of climate impact compared to pea. But there's also been a lot more research on soy milk than there has been on pea milk. So I think we need some more research on these different milk types to say with more confidence really which one is best.
Soy is still a winner, and I would say pea protein is really a winner environmentally because it's a legume, and it's not available as much. Ripple brand is pea protein milk, and there's some plant-based milks in the United States that have some combination of pea protein. But I would say, you know, I would love to see more pea protein milk out in the markets.
That's Becky Ramsing, a public health nutritional professional, registered dietitian, and senior program officer at Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future. She looked at the nutritional side of things in the study. So why haven't we seen more plant-based milk from pea protein yet?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it the marketing? Is it, I know in English, pea milk may not sound very good. it hasn't really picked up. And so, like you've seen Oatly, came in with such a great marketing plan and presentation, and it really picked up. And so it really just going to take something like that to shift the conversation.
I think it's also time for us to shift the conversation towards nutrition. What kind of milk is actually better for our bodies? There are some notable differences, particularly when it comes to protein that we've already delved into a bit, but also zinc and potassium and other vitamins. Some plant-based milks also have added sugar in them, which isn't too great. Can we say straight off the bat which milk is best? Abby Johnson, who looked at over 200 different plant-based milks, says that's difficult.
There's a lot of variability. Every plant-based milk, it seems, is formulated differently. So you can't really say anything concrete about plant-based milks as a category overall, even within categories. Like if we think about soy milk, if we think about oat milk and almond milk, even within categories, there's a lot of variability in terms of their nutritional content. And generally, they're not a one-to-one substitution or replacement for dairy milk.
Dairy is considered a good source for 3 of 5 nutrients of concern identified in the 2020 to 2025 U.S. dietary guidelines: calcium, potassium, and vitamin D. So it looks like cow's milk is the clear winner here from a nutritionist's point of view, right?
Yes, with caveats. I think especially for, growing children, especially in areas where people struggle to, have a variety of food to purchase and be able to access a variety of foods, dairy is really important because it provides, good amount of proteins. The calcium, the vitamin Ds just are important for development. And the affordability of it, if you look at, the affordability of all those nutrients are much lower compared to these plant-based proteins. So definitely in terms of, if you need protein and you're growing and developing, I would definitely put dairy as a clear winner. But, you know, as you get older, if someone who has access to, you know, to a lot of different varieties of plant-based milks and are able to afford them, I think you can do fine.
A lot of plant-based milks have been fortified to include vitamins. Is that as good as the real deal?
Yeah, I would say the fortified nutrients are just as impactful as the naturally occurring nutrients in that item. I mean, even the dairy milk we have in the United States is fortified with A and D, vitamin A and vitamin D. I mean, vitamin D is not natural in milk. It is a fortified, and that's, you know, what we've done throughout, you know, for public health reasons, because there are really not very many foods that have vitamin D in them at all.
One thing to certainly pay attention to is added sugar.
Dairy milk, cow's milk, is naturally sweet, but it is sweetened with lactose. So what we looked at was added sugars, which have a specific definition per the FDA in the US. And we found that there was, again, wide variability in the added sugar in these plant-based milks, some of which sort of looks more like a chocolate milk or a strawberry milk level of added sugar, for example.
And that sugar intake can add up quickly, depending on which brand you choose, says Abby Johnson.
In our sample of milks that we looked at, some across, like, so if we look just at soy, for example, some of the soy milks are high in added sugar, where they might be providing up to 30% of the daily value for added sugar from a serving of soy milk, while others have a much lower amount and are providing almost no added sugar. So again, it really depends, even within a category, on the actual makeup of that milk.
It definitely pays off to read the label, not just to check out the sugar amount, but also for vitamins and protein. There's a nice, neat chart comparing different plant-based milks. And just to give you an idea of the dimensions. So a glass of cow's milk that's measured at 240 milliliters or just over 8 ounces had about 8 grams of protein. Pea milk had 7.5, soy milk just around 6, oat milk just under 3, and almond milk had just 1 gram of protein.
Oats are not necessarily a high-protein food. They're grain. As healthy as oatmeal is, or oats are, that is, the milk is not going to provide a lot of protein. And almonds, especially, interesting enough, is the almond milk is very, because you think of nuts as being a higher protein food, but the way that the milks are made, there's a lot of water added to that. So the protein content actually is very low. So it's definitely not a good, if you're not getting the protein, if you're relying on that dairy or that plant-based dairy for protein, you're not going to get it in those choices.
Abby Johnson says they found some plant-based milks that were similar to cow's milk.
Soy milk typically has higher protein levels. We found some higher protein levels in pea plant-based milks, as well as some of the blends that have different combinations of plant sources of protein.
The lack of protein might particularly come into play for children, Becky Ramsing says.
So you think about children who, you know, need, you know, aren't getting a lot of protein and need that protein. If they're getting, you know, 10-15 grams, you know, or 12 grams of from a cup of dairy milk, and instead they're, you know, 3 times a day, and then they're going to almond milk, they're losing like 30 or 40 grams of protein that are extremely important for them if they're doing that throughout the day and every day. So that adds up.
For grown-ups, that might not be so much of a problem, though.
The average American gets, at least in the United States, they far exceed the amount of protein that they need for a healthy diet. So in the United States, on average, Americans are over-consuming protein.
Says Brent Kim.
So it's not as big of a concern from a nutritional component. Now, on the other hand, obviously, if we're talking about developing children or people in countries where they may be at risk of protein deficiency, that's a very different story.
You can't just pick a plant-based milk off the shelf and assume that it's going to fit one profile. Everyone is so different. And I think that's really the message of this is, you know, to help consumers get this, you know what to look for, you know, to look, how do I look for added sugar? How do I look for protein? How do I look for what's fortified in that product?
And she says she's experienced that firsthand, that it's important to check.
There was a soy milk I was drinking, and because it was hard to get unflavored ones, and soy milk is getting harder to get now in the store because almond milk and oat milk are so big. And here I am, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm getting my calcium. I looked, I'm like, oh wait, this one's not calcium fortified. So so that you have to look at that label and make sure that it is calcium fortified if you're, you know, because calcium is important for bone health.
One advantage of plant-based milks that cow's milk doesn't have is extra fiber. Abby Johnson says there are some plant-based milks that provided more than 10% of the daily value of fiber, and cow's milk has none. On the other hand, cow's milk is rich in vitamin B2 or riboflavin that's important for cell growth and energy production, and phosphorus that's important for our bones and teeth.
For most of the pea products in our data set, there were 9, and most of them met the criteria for calcium and protein, but only 3 met the criteria for vitamin A, and none of the pea-based products met the criteria for phosphorus or riboflavin. So there are other nutrients that were lower, even though the protein is high.
But you can still drink that type of plant-based milk if you get your nutrients elsewhere.
Eat a diverse diet with lots of fruits and vegetables, and you wouldn't have to worry about being deficient in either vitamin B2 or in phosphorus. So it's not to say that you can't consume plant-based milks, because you definitely can, and they can definitely be part of a healthy diet. It's more thinking holistically about everything you're eating and not relying on them as the only source of nutrients.
So what do the experts themselves drink?
I do drink dairy milk. I just don't like the flavor of plant-based milks myself. But I have in the past drank soy milk.
For me, I do a combination. I like yogurts, and I think the yogurts and the cheeses are healthy. I like soy milk, and so I will drink soy milk or pea protein milk just for that environmental, just to really help on the environmental side of things. And so trying to keep my dairy, minimal and enjoy it.
I will admit that I am a personal fan of milk made from peas. There happens to be a store that's close to my home that does stock those milks. And I acknowledge that not everyone has that privilege of having both physical access as well as economic affordability access to all of this range of different products. So that's an important consideration too.
So there you have it, Neil. Check the label, mm-hmm. Check what you need in terms of nutrition, mm. And watch out for hidden sugar.
Yeah, hidden sugar. And it's pea and soy. Those were the ones that came out top, right? So, and soy, I know, I don't like the taste of. I've never tried pea before, so I can't really judge.
You have to try the shake, Neil. Hazelnut shake, pea protein, here.
Well, okay, all right then. Okay, I'll give it a shot. Okay, so this really is a first. I'll sniff it first, right? Okay, it just smells of hazelnut. It smells quite nice, actually. Oh, God, it looks revolting.
Are you kidding? It looks like chocolate milk.
No, it doesn't. I'm not going to say what it looks like. Okay. Yeah. Oh, God, talking of hidden sugar, it tastes super, super sweet. You can have this back, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to wash my mouth out with a cup of coffee now.
It's sweet, but it's not too sweet, is it? It just has three grams of sugar. Okay, not for you then.
No, I'm sorry.
All right, well, I'm going to get another one of these pea protein shakes now. So, cheers.
Cheers, sir.
I think Neo should really give the pea protein milk a chance too. Okay, that's a wrap for our Living Planet. The show was produced by me, Sarah Steffen, and edited by Neil King. Thanks so much for listening. If you want more Living Planet, check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Bye for now.
For generations, we plowed our way across America seeking prosperity through farming, but valuable soil and its nutrients are washing away.
All the soil microorganisms are gone or greatly depauperate.
There's just less microscopic life in that soil?
Yes.
To undo the damage, some Kansas farmers are embarking on a plow-free future. Find out more on our podcast, Up From Dust, from the Kansas News Service.